speaking a short time ago to Don Cox on the phone, and he asked me to send his best wishes to you. They are leaving for Dominican Republic for 2 weeks on November the 11th. So you might remember that and pray for them. And there's several little new assemblies that have been planted there in the last few years. And they are actually French-Haitian assemblies. For these folks left Haiti at the time of the great earthquake there. And Don and several others are heading south for some special meetings and so on. So remember that. We're heading for New Carlisle, Quebec for a month coming up, and we'd appreciate your prayers as well. And I might say it's very nice to see each one out this evening. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Tonight I'd like to speak on the subject of the glory of God. And when I think of glory, it makes me think of two things. One is in itself a great bright light. When we talk of the glory of God, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in his glory and so on, it speaks of a great, great light. And then we think of giving God glory, which is as putting the spotlight on him. We think of a dark room, such as a theater, and there's a star there that is making some sort of presentation. And the only light in the building comes down and shines upon the one who is being glorified, the one whom all the attention is on. The spotlight is on him. That's the second way I think of the idea of glorifying. When you're glorifying another, then you're putting the light on them. When you are glorified from within because of your nature and who you are, the brightness, then that is that comes from within yourself. And we think of the glory of God in that way. And we find in the book of 1 Peter many mentions of the word glory. And I would like to look at a few tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have there in the latter part of the chapter, not so much the glory of God, but the glory of man. The glory of man. Let's look at that passage together. And we'll read in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now you might notice the comparison in that passage between the glory of man and the word of God. And I think we could clearly say that we may put for a short time here the spotlight on a man, a group of men, but the word of God is something altogether glorious in comparison. The glory of man is like grass. And this summer we have many beautiful flowers grew up to different parts times of the summer. But they're all withered pretty well now. There's a few poking their heads through the coolness. The grass falleth away. It is a corruptible seed after all. And you know, there are many men. I remember when I was a new believer, There are many men that were living for the Lord then, to whom I looked up to very dearly. But they're gone. Some are gone on to better things in heaven. Some are still around. They're just gone as far as the Lord is concerned. Man is a being that will always fail. And as one man said, if we live long enough, the roof is going to fall in on all of us. Man's glory is only as good as his relationship to God. But the Word of God is eternal. The Bible says it's a living book, the Word of God. And that is something amazing. It is totally different and unique from any other book. It abideth forever. It will never change and it will never, ever pass away. The Word of God is not like we are in any way. There have been many that have battled the Word of God, sought to destroy it, but still it abideth, and still it liveth, that still it endureth forever, and still men are changed every year by the Word of God. And it is by the Word of God that the gospel is preached. And we read in this passage, it is the Word of God by which men are born again, by which they have new life. That is, such is the Word of God. My friends, we ought to glorify the writer of the Word of God. It is God-breathed. It is God's book. Let's look on here a little bit. In chapter 2 and verse 11, we'll see the word to glorify again. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God shall be glorified in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes again. And there will be many that shall glorify him. And it would seem to me that the main thought of this verse is that there is an evangelistic aspect to good works. That the Christians, after all, ought to maintain good works for practical purposes, yes, and also for evangelistic purposes. For we read here that the unsaved, while they look upon us, while they may ridicule us, while they may speak evil of us, the Bible says they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, they shall see, they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. They shall put the spotlight upon him. Good works are not done to glorify us. Good works are done to glorify the Lord. And the Bible says they see your good works. There's a city that cannot be hid. Ye are the lights of the world. And the Bible says as men look upon that light, that they glorify the Father which is in heaven. My friends, we need to be careful to maintain good works. And even though we know we are not saved by good works, the Bible says we're saved unto good works, those things that we may do. And may we be men and women of good works. Because some of those that ridicule us, it's not enough for us to say, those people, they ridicule us. They despise the name we love. We'll not bother with them. But the Word of God instead, it says, you keep on. Good works, doing those things that are good. There may be a day when they come up to you in heaven and they'll say, God was doing great things through you. and they shall glorify God because of what you've been doing. My friends, we often say, and we often sing, we sang tonight of glorifying God, but remember this, others glorify God if they see good works in us. It is the means of men being born again. There's a means of men not being able to deny the word of God because it's made such a change in the life of men. And so let us remember that. Glorify God. Let's look at the next thing here. It's in chapter 4. You see how quickly we're moving along here. Chapter 4 and verse 11 again. The Bible says in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that, listen, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, when we look at this spotlight, again, that God would be glorified, we see, again, the evangelistic aspect of service. Now, there's two things that are mentioned here. That is, men speaking and men ministering. Now, you can minister. We call speaking the word ministering. But I think the separation there is speaking and service as practical service. Speaking and practical service. In other words, our talking and our walking. Now, the local church is called in the Holy Scripture the body of Jesus Christ. And the body of Jesus Christ in this passage is separated into the speaking aspect and the ministering aspect. The hands and the feet and so on. The practical things that can be done for the Lord and the Lord working through us. And then we have the message of God's word, the preaching of God's word. And the idea of them both is that God would be glorified through Jesus Christ, through us. And so what we have is, we have the speaking of the word of God. And the men of God, as they take apart the word of God and speak forth the word of God, ought to do it as the oracles of God. If this be the word of God that I preach tonight, if it be, and you can search the scriptures to see if these things be so, then I would say to you, hear the word of God. If any man have ears, let him hear. Hear, O Israel. Hear the word of the Lord. That is our responsibility. And in the assembly of God's people, there are those that in a sense are the mouth of the Lord in the meeting as much as they are preaching the word of God. And so he says that the Lord may be glorified. Speak as the oracles of God. Let us not lose the authority of the word of God. Not in our lives, not in our meetings, the word of God, as we hear it here, the speaking of the word of God. Then the Bible says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth. You know, there's always things to be done for the Lord. And very often we're saying, what can others do for me? What am I getting? But the point that the Bible says is, it says, what are you doing for the Lord? How are you ministering? How are you serving the saints of God? How are you serving your neighbors? How are you serving? What are you doing? What abilities do you have? By the grace of God, what abilities do you have? My friends, as we look at this passage again, If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, who knows if the Lord is going to use this? Who knows if the Lord is going to use this? Who knows if the Lord's going to use it all? That the Lord may be glorified in all things, that men may say, the Lord liveth. There is indeed a God in heaven. His Son is Jesus Christ. He is worthy of my worship. He is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my service in walking and talking. So we see there the spotlight of God. And then Peter seems to break out in what is called a doxology, just an expression of praise. And he says, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise. And by the way, the word there is glory. To whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful thing that we may put the spotlight on God, and as we serve God, others will put the spotlight on God. Let us not forget that this is the Word of God. Let us not despair and say, it doesn't matter how I live, what I do, what I say, or how I say it, or how I do it. My friends, Peter said, you serve me, and if you can speak, you speak as the oracles of God. When we look at the passage as well, we see the spotlight on two things, the major spotlight on the future glory of Jesus Christ, that is the glory that comes from him, from his body, so to speak. My, what a day it'll be to have changed eyes, to be able to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God shining in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, personally with him. My eyes will not be burned out of my head. My body will not be burned up with the glory. I shall be changed, and I shall behold him in his glory. And we look at chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. My, it could be tonight for us, could be caught up to be with the Lord, and we shall behold his glory. The Bible says that ye shall be glad with exceeding joy. What a day it will be to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, to behold his glory shining forth from him. And then we'll look back at the sufferings, the fiery trials. They're not trials that are not real. We'd always say, oh, well, our trials don't compare with those over in Africa or some other place. But you know something, our trials are our trials. And sometimes they are fiery. Sometimes we feel like we're hanging on by the skin of our teeth. This is not strange. This is typical of the Christian life. This is a promise of things that happen to us here in this world. But the Bible says, don't think it strange. Rejoice. You are partakers of Christ's sufferings. This world was not the home of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no place to lay his head here, and neither do we. No. I still remember the comparison in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's said of our trials here that they are but for a moment, and they are light compared and not worthy to be compared to the eternal and exceeding weight of glory. In other words, the weight in that glass of water is our trials. And when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the weight of the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian and Antarctic and Arctic Oceans all put together. Our light afflictions for a moment are not worthy to be compared to that eternal and exceeding weight of glory. My friends, what a day it will be. Some would say, listen, some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I believe that people that are heavenly minded are those that can go through the deepest of trials. They can go through the deepest of trials, for they are able to compare the things that are happening to them now compared to an eternal and exceeding weight of glory that awaits. The Bible promises these things to us, that you will be glad with exceeding joy. You know, here we have spots of joy. It is a great thing to be saved, and I have known joy. I know what it is. But I know that even that shall be just a bit of what comes before the real thing. By the way, not that it is not real. You know, there's quite a difference in this world. Let's look at chapter 4 and verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? A wonderful title, the Spirit of glory. The Holy Spirit rests on us. And the Bible says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. You are blessed. You are blessed. For it means that the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. It's like a mark. If we figure we're doing well because we could get along with everybody, it's probably because the name of Christ, not certainly as a curse word, but as a word of blessing, is not often enough upon our lips. One girl, and I've heard this years ago, an illustration. Having been in university, I have an idea that it may be true at least by times. She was a Christian girl going off to university, and her parents were terribly concerned of how she would be treated for Christ's sake. She comes home at Christmas. Her parents said, how did you get along? Did they tease you, torture you, and mock you? She said, no, I got along fine. She said, they didn't even know I was a Christian. That's the way a lot of us live. Remember one brother, he was telling me the other day when he was saved. He was saved in a workplace. And after he got saved, he would be talking to his friends, and this man came up to him and said, I'm a Christian too. This fellow be a little bit on the, there's zeal and there's wisdom. But anyway, he being a little bit on the zealous side, he said to the man, you would have let me go to hell, wouldn't you? He wouldn't have said a word. I'm sure the Christian didn't feel too good. But you know, there is a truth in that. The mark of the Christian is the Holy Spirit. And if you reproach for the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of. They could talk about the Lord any way they please. They can put him down. They can put him up. They can say he's good. They could say, one man told me once, he's 6 foot tall, blue eyes, perfect man, blonde hair. The wicked speak evil of Christ, but on your part he is glorified. What a beautiful thought. Here are a group of people that glorify the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that to be true. They put the glory on him. As if we are in a great theater, someone, maybe a great tenor, maybe someone is standing forth to sing. All is quiet, all is dark, one spotlight, and it is on one person. It doesn't matter if the mayor is there. It doesn't matter if the prime minister is there. The spotlight is on this person. My friends, in the lives of believers, the spotlight is on Jesus Christ our Lord. What a glorious thing that is. There are others that curse his name, but we bless his name. There are others that serve Satan, even openly, and we serve him. The mark of a Christian. The two ways of looking at Christ. The believer's way and the non-believer's way. If you suffer as a Christian, the scripture says, don't be ashamed. Glorify God that you could suffer for him. Now, I sometimes wonder as I see the laws change, how long it'll be before the first of Christian men and women will be going to jail for standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, his truth. We live in a country where we say, well, we're blessed, we don't get any persecution. But more and more I see our governments binding us more and more to our buildings. And the most they see is the building. They don't want us in their faces. But my friends, we cannot be the disciples of Christ and not be in anyone's face. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is a wonderful thought here of glorifying the Lord Jesus, specifically to the elders of the meeting, and I might speak to the men also, that I am sure, as elders tend to grow old and die, that there will be someone here in the future who shall be recognized as an elder, I'm sure. Notice what it says. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, this is Peter speaking, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. That's wonderful. You know, your salvation, sometimes we like to get, if there's a large and influential church, you put the most large and influential people in high places. But I would think that your shoeshine elder, if you want to call him that, he may not be a witness of the sufferings of Christ any more than spiritually. But one thing, he's a partaker of the glory that shall follow. It is a wondrous thing that we have in common. The most backslidden saint and the most faithful believer have one thing in common. They shall be a partaker a partner, a sharer in the glory that shall be revealed. That is a great truth. Now, to the elders, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. God's flock, not our flock, God's flock. Notice what it says, feed. As a shepherd provides grass. You know, the shepherd doesn't have grass growing out of his hands so that they can, that it's always he that must provide the food. But he must see that the sheep are fed. That the sheep are fed. Then it says, taking the oversight thereof, the protection of the flock. A flock needs to be protected. They will not protect themselves. You know, in the Lord's, among the Lord's people, we are not a democratic assembly. It's not a matter of who gets the most votes. The assembly is to be protected by the oversight. It is their responsibility, and they will give account for it one day. And so we see, feed the flock, taking the oversight of willingly. And then when it talks about leadership, not as being lords over God's heritage, for it is the Lord's, but being examples to the flock. Those that are elders among the Lord's people. I believe the Word of God would ask you to do two things. Keep your eye on the sheep. And keep your eye on the sky, for the Scripture says this, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Our elders do not wear crowns of glory. Our elders do not wear silver diadems with diamonds and gems. And thank God they do not. But for their service to God, day by day and month by month and year by year, protecting the Lord's people, feeding the Lord's people, leading them by example, there is laid up for them from the chief shepherd himself a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I believe, elders, sometimes it may be said, you know those sheep, they kick so hard sometimes. And they all have their own way of looking at things. I would say this, keep your eye on the sky. The Lord Jesus Christ comes tonight, and you've been faithful. Don't you think that there is not special reward for those whose neck is stuck out? And anybody that really wants to be a help to the Lord's people, the neck will be stuck out and the neck will get a few swipes. Glory! Glory is the end of it. From the hand of the chief shepherd himself. And so, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We read in the Scripture, if a man desire to be a bishop or an elder or a pastor or an overseer, these are all the same thing. He desireth a good work with a promise of a good work out. And it's worth it. They say to a young man, you better stay clear of there because it's hard. Yes, it's hard. It's glorious work. It's glorious work. And what is your life worth? What is something you can give your life to if it is not the Lord? A crown of glory The last thing that I'd note is chapter 5 and verse 10. The God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory. Peter just seems to go on and on with this theme of glory. Eternal glory. The saints shall shine as the stars in the firmament. The saints shall shine above the glory of the sun. The God of all grace. What another wonderful theme there. The God of all grace has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, settle you. The spotlight here is on the Lord. We've been called into his eternal glory. And he wants us to grow as Christians. And how are we going to grow? Well, it says here, he has called you into eternal glory after that you have suffered a while. Christians grow through things that they suffer. The difficulties of life are the chastening hand of God, and those whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Now, he chasteneth not in the sense that he likes to pound the life out of us, but rather perfectly, in his own perfect way, he allows this, and he allows that, and he allows that, and he allows that. He allows these things to come. And what is the result? The result is maturity. You know, Christians talk sometimes, whether they should or not, and I know that they would say about so-and-so and so-and-so, they say, you know what? The difference we find over the years, that person, the first little thing, he'd be up in the air, climbing the walls, screeching and roaring. And you know something? He's a changed man. He's a changed man. He settled down. He settled down, and he seems established. Hey, the queer ideas that were constantly our concern, you know something? He seems to be happy in the Lord. He's maturing somehow. I was always a child, a perpetual child. We didn't know how to handle him. You wouldn't be able to handle a bad kid. And now he's changed. You know what changes? This is really no slow, fast way to do it. It's sufferings and trials. They either cause us to turn away or they cause us to draw close. And thank the Lord, in many cases, the believer grows closer to the Lord. The psalmist said, I'm like a weaned child. I'm not like a brat anymore. I'm not a brat anymore. Well, Peter just calls out again for the second time the same words. He says, to God be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To God be glory. I'm thankful he works. I'm thankful the Lord works, directs, works through us. By the way, there's a little song we used to sing. In my life, Lord, be glorified. You might remember that from camp if you're old enough. By the way, we used to be young. We used to be young and foolish, and some of you young people, you may not believe that, a wonderful thing. And then you get old. But anyway, in my life, Lord, be glorified. In thy word, Lord, be glorified. In good works, Lord, be glorified. In my talk, Lord, be glorified. In my walk, Lord, be glorified. Forever and ever, Lord, be glorified. In my trials, Lord, be glorified. In reproach, Lord, be glorified. In thy church, Lord, be glorified. In my growth, Lord, you be glorified. For all eternity, be glorified, O Lord. So be it. Be glorified. Amen, O Lord. Amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee. As we search thy word, we see the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, it is the desire of our heart today that we might glorify him. We have seen how the apostles have called forth in the book that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the book that is God-breathed, how we must glorify thee. Father, we pray that in all these ways that Jesus Christ would receive glory. We would say to God, be the glory. Great things he hath done. Amen. Be with us as we go on our way. In Jesus' name, amen.